my first beer.
Throw a big party this weekend to celebrate.
We're all invited. I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. Oh. You know what I'm talking about. Oh.
The sheriff is on this!
What are you saying? The sheriff is near!
No, God damn it, James Roman! The sheriff is on this!
Welcome to the all new and improved movie review. I am your host, as always, the BJ. With me, the man I wish would permanently move away, the RB.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I get that. Start that one. Yeah, I get it. I'm back.
Mr. Colin.
I'm back. I wasn't here last week.
Our last show was our special episode was a big hit, which was cool.
Yeah.
It was a nice change of pace.
Yeah. No wrong with that.
We are back with an all new Ask Movie Review.
Okay.
How you been though? You been doing well?
Work, man.
Did you watch anything at all? Did you see anything?
I did. I watched a couple. So on Comcast, Epix,
yeah.
the channel.
Is it Epix or Epix?
I don't know. I go Epix. It's probably Epix. I don't know.
Wait, imagine that. The two guys on Movie Review who never can get a name right.
I know. This is a channel, so it's EPIX, whatever. It's probably just called EPIX, or something stupid like that, like Mimi's. But yeah, so they've been having a free trial of, their movies that have been on. So I've had access to some movies that I haven't seen. I watched Downsizing.
The
Matt Damon.
That didn't do very well.
It was awful.
That's what I heard. It,
very disappointing.
Great cast though, right?
Yeah, very strong. Sudeikis was in it in a very small role. Kristen Wiig. I've just never been able to get on board with her, and this movie didn't help. She's scum in this movie. She's awful. But it's got Matt Damon, and he does well in it. It just wasn't a very good movie. But I did watch Fighting with a Family, the movie about the WWE girl Paige.
That's right.
So I watched that. That was a good movie. Vince Vaughn was fantastic in it. The Rock had a couple cameos in there, yep, or whatever.
Based on the true story.
Uh-huh, yeah. But, good movie. I kind of always wanted to see it, but it wasn't a movie that I was, like, going to pay to see,
It got great reviews, and then it opened up in select theaters, then it opened up in nationwide theaters.
Yeah, and so, yeah, I saw those. None of my flight to Houston last week, and we didn't have a movie on it, which that sucked. But
did you look it up on your phone? There are some movies you can watch for free.
Yeah. So the problem with that is, I guess I don't get this. So on my flight out to Houston, it says, there's movies available to watch when you connect to Wi-Fi. Just download the app, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I tried to connect to the Wi-Fi on the plane. And it kept saying not available. And I was like, okay.
Oh, I had the same issue.
So I gave it a couple minutes and then tried it again. Didn't work.
There's a certain address you have to type in.
Is that right?
Well, when we flew down to Miami, that's what we did. We haven't been on the show since I've been on vacation. You've been out of town, have we? Because we did a couple early. So
yeah.
It's been a minute. I ended up watching some of that. So I haven't watched a whole lot. I caught up on Blacklist season 6.
Love me some James Spader.
You know what else I've been watching in the mornings? What? Boston Legal.
I love. Oh my god,
that monster was cast.
His James Spader and William Shatner, their rapport together. John Larroquette.
Candace Bergen.
Yeah, Bergen. Yeah. I mean, just and then great cameos by people on there for times, but James Spader was great. So the chick who was on there for a while, who was like a love interest with James Spader, I can't think of her, and she was in one of my favorite movies, The Life of David Gale, and she was a small role in that. but she to me is like absolutely like one of the sexiest women alive. I don't know what she looks like now because it's been a while, but man, was she hot. And I can't think, what was her name?
So there was she in a lot of episodes?
Yeah.
Julie Brown? There was Tara Summers.
That one sounds right. Hang on.
Was she a younger one?
Yes.
That was Tara Summers.
Was
she played Katie, I believe.
I'm seeing.
And there was...
Oh, no.
There's Constance Zimmer.
Where's she at? Hang on. I'm going to find it.
I mean, just because this...
Oh, it's Rona Mitra.
Oh.
Rona Mitra. Oh, my God. Is she hot?
You know who the really funny is? That is Henry Gibson, who plays the judge. Henry Gibson, I mean, that sounds familiar. He passed away in 2009. He was in...
Oh, yeah. In The Burbs? The guy from The Burbs?
But he also played the priest in Wedding Crashers.
Yes.
That's where I was. I saw him this morning.
That was a confession.
I was like,
yeah.
So
yeah, no, good call. But yeah, I mean, I love that show. I love Boston Legal. I liked early on The Practice, which because Boston Legal actually became a spinoff from The Practice.
That's right.
Because Spader was on The Practice for a while, and then they said, okay, yeah, we got to get this guy on a show, and then they paired him with Shatner, and
There was 101 episodes made between 2004 and 2008.
Boston Legal? Yeah, I think I do believe that one went on longer than The Practice.
Yeah, John Larroquette was in joined the cast 2007, 2008.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He was really good.
I mean, you just talked about her. And then Tyree G.P. Henson, who's who was on, is it I think it's Empire.
Mm-hmm.
Betty White was on the show for 16 episodes.
Oh, yeah, she was on there quite a bit.
Lake Bell was on there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just it's amazing.
Great cast, but great stories in a lot of those, too. They were very intriguing.
The one I watched today was where they said they were talking about Bush was still in the White House during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were thinking about having William Shatner run for president.
Yes,
and
I remember that.
He was like, hey, just it was also because it was Jack who was on the magazine show with David Spade. He's the one that ran the magazine. His daughter worked there. David Spade was the receptionist.
Yes.
He was on there. I can't think of his name.
Yeah. But you know what else?
Oh, he was in Look Who's Talking.
Look Who's Talking. That's what I was going to say. Remember, he was the... Yeah.
And then end up playing a prank on
Shatner, but then Shatner flipped it.
Yeah. And then at the end, they're sitting there drinking scotch, him and Spader. Yep. And he's talking.
Well, I thought that was always the best, is how they finish it. It was always him and Spader having a stogie and, you know, some scotch on their balcony at their office and all that kind of stuff. I always thought that was really cool.
He was talking about how, you know, I ended up being president and quit at 4. He's like, I'd bomb this place and then have a rendezvous with, Hillary Clinton in the Oval Office, and Spader's like, stop.
Yeah.
It was a great episode.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good show.
Blacklist. It jumped the shark a few times.
Yeah.
But I skipped to season 6. I watched the first 3 seasons a long time ago.
Well, I know the big news is that, Disney Plus or whatever launched. And so Mandalorian has begun.
Yep.
Because they're not doing like the binge watch, like they're releasing them 1 week at a time, right? The episodes.
I have Disney Plus. I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, but apparently what they're doing, so like normally with those, I guess they record all the episodes and then they, you know, they release them all at the same time, is what Juice was telling me. I don't know how accurate that is, I don't know, but yeah, so they do that, but they're doing The Mandalorian, they're doing one episode at a time. So, you know, people are watching that. So it's giving people an opportunity to get back into the show routine, you know, like
I don't want a show routine. So Friday night I stayed up until like 2 Saturday morning binge watching because I enjoyed it.
What?
I was watching the show I was watching.
What were you watching?
I just told you what I was watching.
Oh, Boston Legal?
No, The Blacklist.
Oh, The Blacklist. Okay.
So I stayed up watching that because Steph had fallen asleep and I was watching it, and then I want to binge watch. If I want to do that, I'll go back to, because even on network TV, you still have able to record it or save it, and you can watch it anytime. There is no sitting out. Mm-hmm. The only time you watch some, it's if it's live, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of people, so I don't know.
So I have a question for you.
Yep.
Has anything bombed in the box office lately that RB might have predicted?
Charlie's Angels did bomb.
Shocker.
But so did Terminator bombed.
Shocker.
So a lot of the reboots just are not doing well at all.
Yeah.
So.
What? You're kidding? I don't believe that.
I mean, some reboots have. I mean, Joker was kind of a reboot. It's been done a million times, or just been done several different times, and it did over a billion.
Yeah.
But it was a new take on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, which was the only thing that bothered me was Elizabeth Banks helped write and direct the movie. Mm-hmm. Huge fan of Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah, I am too, and I think she got some bad advice. Or maybe lost a bet. I don't know.
No, I mean, she's... She said that it failed because men don't want to go watch women in an action movie.
Stop.
Okay. What movie was huge that was a woman lead? Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but that's got the backing of comic books and comic nerds and stuff like that.
That doesn't matter. I mean, because look, we've seen some comic book movies that DC did had bombed really bad. Not bombed, but didn't do as well as expected.
Yeah.
Like, you know...
Yeah.
Hashtag. Speaking of that, someone asked me my opinion is, do I want to see the Snyder cut of Batman or Justice League? I do want to see it.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see.
Yeah, it. I really do want to see it.
I'd be curious to see that. Yeah.
But yes, Elizabeth Banks. That was her comment.
Love her, but that's I just don't know.
Just take a defeat.
Yeah.
Just
say, you know what? Probably missed on that.
I mean, did James Cameron come out and say anything when his did really bad?
No. And like Ocean's 8, that came out and flopped like a mother. The Ghostbusters, like, I don't remember anybody coming out trying to justify it, right?
No, I mean, I don't know how to say it. I mean, do you think more men go to movies than women, even by themselves? I don't know.
No, what I think is that the men more get to dictate what you actually go see, to be honest. I swear to God. I think that they do.
Do you think it's one of those dates? Hey, what are we going to go see? Like, hey, I'm going to go watch the new Batman. Do you want to go with me? Okay, we'll go to the movies together.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, I that's what I think. I think it's become such the norm that you watch certain things and it gets a stereotype. So, a guy taking a girl on a date to see Charlie's Angels. I don't think anybody's ready for that social stigma of I took my girlfriend, my wife, whatever, to go see Charlie's Angels on our date. There's enough good enough other movies out there that I wouldn't even say good movies. I'd say there's enough other movies out there that you would probably agree on that the guy is probably remotely intrigued in and that the girl would tolerate.
Ford versus Ferrari did very well.
Good.
They're calling that the movie, the breakout movie for sunglasses. I guess there's a lot of sunglasses worn that one.
Nice. Okay.
No, I mean, I want
to check that out.
Like, you know, and I don't want this to sound like, you know, well, we don't want to watch women do movies. That's not what I'm saying whatsoever. But you take a movie that, I mean, because Terminator came out, that came out, Rambo, three franchises in a row died a slow death this year, so far we know. Mm-hmm. Rambo, which mm-hmm. is a male cast,
mm-hmm.
Terminator, which is male and female leads.
Yeah, but we heard that was more of a female-dominated movie.
Well, which they've done before, so it's not shocking on that, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't. My take on it, I mean, I think
didn't watch any of them.
Well, one of the problems with the Charlie's Angels, I think, is that the first one got massive reviews when it came out. Bill Murray, Drew Barrymore.
And I couldn't stand it.
Yeah, I thought it was very okay. But then they came out with the second one that got just way too out of control. You brought in Demi Moore, and it got too weird, you know? And it didn't do tremendous at the box office. I don't think even if it did do well at the box office, I think people could agree it wasn't a very good movie. So then you're trying to expand on a movie that wasn't very good and try to do a remake of it with the new one now. And to be honest, I think a lot of what, I don't know, maybe that's just me, but I think a lot of, I have a tough time watching like a Charlie's Angels where you get this tiny little Asian girl that just beats the hell out of, you know, these massive dudes.
Well, and the other thing about Charlie's Angels is think, what did you just say? Drew Barrymore, Cameron Diaz, Lucy Liu, Drew Barrymore.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one right here, we have
the chick, Stewart chick, right?
Well, no.
I didn't even know a bunch of the chicks in this.
Well, that was the point. The lead roles, and that's what they're saying, is there are some obvious problems, flaws worth being counting for Sony, which released the film. Stewart was a generational figure for Twilight, which is true, but she spent the rest of the decade same way Robert did. Went down and did the indies, like stayed away from blockbusters. So they're great actors, actors.
You didn't even have big names to back it up,
and that's one of the things. But they said Stewart was the comic relief for character, given less proper plot than anyone in the main ensemble. So the only person people know, she wasn't even made the main thing. The leads, Ella Balinska and Naomi Scott, are getting set with stars. It was an event in 2000. So I mean this is a fair assessment. In fact, Stewart Sabrina has less arc than the characters who Charlie Angels lore. So I mean, there,
it the, just didn't did we watch that trailer? I think you made me watch that trailer on the show, and I was like, nope. But yeah, I think you did. And I was like, no, it's not gonna do anything. It didn't have, even if you just made one,
but if you
just needed one big name, and it's going to do way better.
But if you watch her like in Twilight, right? Like, she's the centerpiece and he's the centerpiece, and their story's going around it. Like, they could carry a movie, but if you're going to give the only star in a movie not enough dialogue in the movie.
Well, I'll tell you what, even make like a Jennifer Aniston as Bosley, right? Give one big name to give it a little bit more.
I think she went with the Pitch Perfect technique, which was not big stars.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah. Tried to make it work.
Yeah. And I get, and that's what I'm saying. Elizabeth Banks is like, I think she's brilliant. She's gonna try it. And I love her. Like Pitch, like I love Pitch Perfect. I'd watch it every time it's on.
Not ashamed to.
Didn't watch the third one though.
I watched it. Yikes.
I mean, I did.
Yeah. Watch it. It struggled for me, but the first one, I'll tell you what, just fantastic. I am a Pitch Perfect fan.
The second one, it has our boy Snoop Dogg's in it doing the Christmas songs.
Oh yeah.
And then you have Pill in it.
Yeah.
No, not Jordan Pill,
Key
in it, yeah.
Which he was so funny in that movie. He was fantastic. The second one was still pretty good. It wasn't the worst sequel I've ever seen, but it still was not as good as the first one. Anchorman 2
is still your worst sequel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's by far the one that hurt me the most of my entire life.
Yeah. I'm up here with you.
Probably a close second is Dumb and Dumber 2 or Dumber and Dumber.
Yeah, but it wasn't the same cat.
No, I'm talking about the new one with Jeff Daniels and...
But the difference is that was 20 years, wasn't it?
I know. Yeah, it was like...
Anchorman was like bam, and a few later's bam.
Yeah, that's why Dumb and Dumber is a close second. It's still going to be Anchorman for me. God, that hurt so bad.
The other question that we have, so... And I think you're a hard person to ask. Maybe I have to answer this. So which streaming service, if you had to pay for, which is the one that you're going to go with? Because there's Netflix.
Well, I don't have any.
Well,
I don't have any.
You have Netflix.
Yeah, but that's somebody else's login. I don't pay for it.
All right. Well, not say pay for it. If they said pick one, what would you pick?
Oh. I thought if it's something I'm going to spend my money on. Okay. And I'm somebody who doesn't have that, right?
Not a fan of the auto debits.
No, I don't know. Something about it. I don't know why.
We preach it daily.
I know. Isn't that weird?
I believe them. I have them all over the place.
Yeah, I just don't have any of them. I guess if I'm going with one, to be honest, from what I'm hearing now, the one that I probably go with is, I think I do. I think I go with Disney Plus.
No. They said a lot of people don't want to watch the movie. All right, so I love Netflix.
Is it just movies?
No, there's shows on there, but a lot of the shows are not out yet.
Okay. So, but there's no, you can go back and watch like episodes of like Full House or shit like that.
Yeah, there's things like that. I haven't went into it. And we went over the shows that were on it that on one episode, so we don't have to go back through it. But like, I just, like, for example, is we have Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
We have Hulu, we have HBO, Netflix, now we have Disney. I'm still questioning where we got Disney from.
Yeah, where did
my son says, "Hey, I got Disney," and I'm like, "How do you have Disney?"
Yeah, well, I just took your card out of your wallet, and now we have it.
But think about it,
probably Netflix. I guess now that I'm thinking about it, it's probably Netflix I go with.
I guess Luke was watching all the Marvel movies, and I'm like, dude, like, that's not enough for me to get it. I mean, and I know the new Star Wars series is on there, and I get it because we're big fans of who created it.
Yeah,
but I'm not that big of a fan where I'm gonna get it for one show.
No,
and I don't want
to.
No.
They're gonna have to prove something to me. But I mean, I think it's that's an intriguing
thing. I'm gonna lie to you. You know what I watch more than anything? We don't have cable, right? So yeah. I scan the channels. And I end up watching Seinfeld reruns. Mm-hmm. I've been watching this weird channel that you can get locally about murders.
No.
Yeah.
Stop watching that shit, man. It's just gonna make you think you can do it.
No. The wife watches them more than I do.
And that, okay, then you need to keep watching them because you need to start catching the red flags when they start.
Well, I tell her,
hey, baby, do you want to go on a boat ride in February? What? No, what?
Who am I? Fredo?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
No, I think that right now I'm going to stick with Netflix, but I mean, we have Hulu. I tried to use Hulu the other day, and it was I don't know why I get annoyed by it. But I mean, basically, if you start tacking on, my Netflix is $15, right? Because I have unlimited devices.
Okay.
And then
is that all it costs a month? $15 for Netflix?
Well, if you just, well, I was grandfathered in.
Okay.
But if you don't reset your phones, it'll almost say that you have it on another device or whatever.
Okay.
So I have unlimited devices now.
Okay.
Because I have it on a PlayStation, I have it on a Fire Stick, and then we have it on four phones. That's six devices. The max is five.
Okay.
I would
probably five that can play at the same time.
Yeah. Now it's unlimited. Whoever wants to play. Okay. But I, honestly, though, I'm not a big. I haven't been watching. I don't watch. And I know this sounds weird, but I mean, I still watch a lot of movies, but I don't have time to be invested in the shows.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with you. I'm a pretty busy guy.
Sadly, I'm becoming more and more busy, but
we're proud of you.
Are you?
You need to grow our market up there, of our business.
I'm trying.
Hashtag it.
Hashtag business. Business,
yeah,
partners.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we sit in this fucking room. I know. Yeah, I don't remember getting up whenever I want. Do you?
Yeah, I know. I don't recall.
But that was one of the big questions we had.
That's a good one.
And
that's a good one. For me, I think it's probably more of a relevant question because what would be something that would get me out of cable, which I do need to call Comcast because I think my promo thing.
But don't
expired.
Get rid of it because when you're not home, like when you go out of town, and I'll be editing shows, I'll come downstairs, like, oh, there's all my old channels.
Yeah, I know.
And you have more channels than I had.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm just too expensive. I need to sign up on a new promo because, I mean, it took me. I was with AT&T UVerse for a lot of years, and I loved it. Probably one of the major things when I bought this house was that UVerse was available, and so I was like, oh, sweet, I'm getting UVerse. Because I loved UVerse. And then when I went to work for Comcast for a while, then I switched over to Comcast. And I love Comcast. Like, it's great. And I love the fact that if I record, like, a show now and there's a commercials in it, you know, you fast forward. You don't even have to stop the fast forwarding. It automatically picks up after the commercial breaks. I'm like, that's pretty badass. And it does it for sports, too. Mm-hmm. So let's just say I sit through a half of a Colts game and I record. When it comes commercial time, I just hit fast forward. It takes me right back to the game. So you can fly through a game. My brother is the absolute king of Pacer games. That's what he does. He doesn't watch sports live, and it drives me nuts. I can't do it. So, like, teams that I want, Pacers, Hoosiers, Notre Dame football, you know, things like that. I want to watch live because I don't want somebody to piss me off and tell me something. My brother, dude, we watched a Pacer game in like 35 minutes one time.
Wow.
I mean, it was ridiculous. Like, we watched it, like, we picked it up in the third quarter or whatever. It was in, like, getting ready to start the second half when we started watching it, and we caught up by the end of the game. Somehow it was, like, timed up perfect. I'm like, that's bizarre.
Well, and I'm not going to lie. I'm a big fan of pausing and going outside mm-hmm. or whatever, doing yeah, something.
Go smoking.
Yeah, and then hit play and mm-hmm. then get that lag so I mm-hmm. can fast forward through the commercial. Mm-hmm. So I get that.
Yep. Well, I do that with Dateline. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm a Dateline guy on Friday night. But I'll do that where, like, I'll, you know, record it and then pick it up. And then I try to time it so then I finish up at the end. I'm live, right?
So another question we had from somebody was, are you more of a clip snap guy now because of YouTube and Facebook? And where, like, for example, if you go on Facebook and click on one little clip of a movie and then you scroll up, sometimes you'll get the algorithm of more little clips of movies.
Yeah, no, because I don't, most of the clips that I watch are not movie clips, to be honest, every once in a while, but most of the others are just like the crap you'd see on like Tosh.0, like the funny videos yep. and stuff like those are the clips I watch. I don't really watch movie clips very often.
I watch a lot of them.
Yeah, I know you do.
Because it's in my feed because I'll look for whatever. Yeah. And then,
Zuckerberg's tapped into you. He's, I know. Yeah, he's, what was it that one week when we talked about something and you went downstairs and you're like, this is no shit. That just popped up. What we just talked about just yeah, popped up on
up there.
My video. Yeah,
yeah, we were on Facebook.
Like, wait, what the hell? And it was, yeah, it was weird.
But this is awesome.
What do they call it again?
Algorithms?
No, it's, they call it something where they.
Oh, yes. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
I remember it was on Parks and Rec at the end of yep. the series that this company was doing that to the town of
Pawnee.
And, but yeah, God dang it. What was it? I can't remember it. I don't want to say pirating. It wasn't pirating. It was something weird, but I don't remember. But it was, yeah, essentially it was taking what people's likes were and then, you know, based off their social medias or technology or tapping into them and stuff like that. But it was funny.
And so I have an article here that said reveal the secret Netflix codes that unlock dozens of family friendly movies for the holiday season.
No.
If you had a family of your
own. I think that's probably a thing. Like, if I had a girlfriend or...
As soon as I said being around loved ones, you're like, no.
I know. I said, oh, God. I got to... Because this is the worst time for me. Because you know what I heard on the radio the other day? So there was like a date. I think they said it at like November 15th or something like that. Is when like it's like 70% of males and like 85% of females... Come November like 15th, it's called nesting. Have you heard of this?
I've heard the term, yeah.
So it's essentially where you are at that particular time. You basically nest with that individual. Like, you basically decide that you are going to spend the winter. So, like, if you had been dating someone for a little bit of time, you basically go ahead and commit yep. to that relationship by that time because the weather changes, you got the holidays coming up, and things like that. So they call it nesting. And I thought that was a really interesting because then I started looking at it, you know, and looking at some people that I know and things like that, and they do. And I think a lot of people do. I mean, actually, I ended my relationship last year about this time, so I never got to go through the nesting. But like, I haven't spent a Christmas. Is that right? I have not spent a Christmas in a relationship. Oh my God! I'm doing the math, bro. It's like I have not spent Christmas with a female. Like, in a relationship, I swear to God, it's like 15 years.
See, that's like that's like a Hallmark movie right there.
Isn't it?
Meredith Baxter is your mom.
Ooh. You know, a lot of people compared my mom to Meredith Baxter, truth be told.
Look who's not coming home for Christmas.
Yeah. No, God dang it. It's been that long since I've bought a Christmas present for a girl.
You're almost like the Ryan Reynolds movie when he goes back home and he's a success. And
yeah, except I'm not
successful. Love that movie.
Yeah.
But here's something interesting. Clueless drama series reboot with mystery twists from CBS TV studios. So, an hour-long Clueless TV series based on the hit 1995 features in the works of CBS TV studios.
Wait, are you talking about the Alicia Silverstone Clueless?
Mm-hmm. Written by Jordan and Jordan Redout and Gus Hickey, Will and Grace, the new Clueless, Mean Girls meets Riverdale meets A Lizzy. Music videos also set in high school. I mean, they did it with 90210 several times.
Yeah, did you see it already got canceled? The reboot did.
Did it?
They didn't pick it back up. It's a shame. Because that's still, there's a, what is it, the channel Pop still shows all the old 90210.
I watch that a lot.
Yeah, I love that.
I don't know.
Because then, like, they run it for, like, 4 hours. They run, like, four episodes of 90210 a day, and then they do... One day they do like then they do a marathon of House, then they do a marathon of NCIS New Orleans, things like that. So yeah, Pop's actually a pretty good channel.
So in another interesting article, someone asked me is they said, well, they sent me this article. Christian Bale explains why he turned down a fourth Batman movie. Many fans consider Christian Bale's interpretation of the conflicted anti-hero to be one of the very best. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Agreed.
Indeed, his debut as Bruce Wayne and Christopher Nolan's Batman Begins 2005 kicked off a new golden age for the Caped Crusader.
I agree with that.
Bale and Nolan made two more Batman movies, obviously The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm. Which were monsters in the box office.
While promoting the latest flick, Ford versus Ferrari, we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. Bale was talked to by Toronto Sun and Batman came up. Bale says that he and Nolan worked hard to concentrate on making each individual film the best it could be and never assumed they would end up making three. We knew we had to reinvent it. Bale remembered, I literally had people laughing when I told them we were going to do a new kind of Batman. Mm-hmm. He says, I think the reason it worked out was first and foremost Chris' take on it, but also we never were arrogant and assumed that we had an opportunity to be on one film at a time.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that Chris always talked about. He said, this is it. We're making one film. That's all we've got.
Mm-hmm.
Then when they, Warner Brothers came and said, you want to go make another one? It's fantastic, but we still said, this is it. We're not getting another one.
Yeah.
They asked about number four.
I don't know where it would have gone.
He says, we stick to Chris's dream, which is always do, hopefully to do a trilogy. Let's not stretch too far, become overindulgent, and go for a fourth. That's why, Chris stepped away after I was informed my services were no longer required. So, I mean, I think because as a fan, we want it to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But to be honest, I look back at it too, and I'm like, The Dark Knight Rises ended so perfectly, in my opinion.
I watched a video yesterday about Jake Gyllenhaal, he was talking about like he had failed relationships, this and this, and then him and Heath Ledger actually became really good friends. I was not aware how close of friends they became.
Why do I think I remember hearing about them being very close? He was cited as being real close with Michelle Williams, who was dating Heath Ledger, and like he was there consoling her a lot, and it was because of how good of friends he was. I didn't realize
he was the godfather for the child.
Is that right?
And then when, because Heath Ledger's estate went to his family because it wasn't amended to go to his daughter.
Oh.
Gyllenhaal covered the cost of a lot of things.
Is that right?
He said if it wasn't for the impact Heath Ledger had on, because he talked about how Heath could walk right up to, he walked up to a horse and broke back mountain, just calmed the horse down, and Jake's like, I don't know how to do any of this.
Hmm.
So he had him buy a dog and learn how to.
Is he what, Australian? When he's Australian?
Yeah. But what I'm saying.
He went some Crocodile Dundee shit on him?
But he just said Heath had a way of doing that, and Jake said he didn't. He's like, Jake was always failed relationship after failed relationship, but and this is not something he ever talked about, but that was what I found out, was like how well Jake went through and did it because of Heath made him a better person, and Jake did that stuff and never told anybody he did that stuff. So
I got you.
It's good to see someone in Hollywood actually do some good, you know?
Yeah. I did just see what came on demand was the Shia thing that we talked about, peanut butter, whatever.
Peanut butter Falcon?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm going to have to probably rent that if I ever get a week where I don't have to travel.
So a couple more here, things that some people sent us.
Okay.
One thing, over the weekend, Ben Affleck and Gail, Wonder Woman,
Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Gail, I don't know.
Yeah, be respectful, please.
I know. They tweeted, release the Snyder Cut. Even the actors who was in the movies, they want to see
really?
It. Examining the Snyder Cut, Zack Snyder's lost version of Justice League.
I told you I saw Aquaman, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's what you expected, basically.
Kind of.
So the stars want it released.
I was hoping.
The stars want it released. I want it released.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that they do.
I love that. The stars want it. I want it. Yeah. Do it.
I have a.
You know that's on their mind right now.
Yeah.
Wait. Movie review wants us out. All right. Let's get that out. Let's get that out next week.
That's who's calling me right now.
Yeah, I figured.
They're sending
me. Why don't you send that to voicemail real quick?
No doubt. So I'm excited. This is from DailyWire.com.
Okay.
The plot for Nicolas Cage's next movie is just crazy. All right, now,
you don't have to say any more.
No.
I'm in.
No.
All right.
This is from DailyWire.com.
All right.
And what can only be described as a Hail Mary comeback move after over a decade of flops and straight to video B movies, actor Nicolas Cage's next project is absolutely bonkers. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the Oscar-winning actor next movie titled The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent will be a story so meta that not even Deadpool can dream it up himself.
Whoa.
Beating out HBO Max and Paramount, Lionsgate has entered into final negotiations to acquire the film, which will involve Cage playing himself as he gets embroiled in all sorts of crazy antics that include getting a role in the next Quentin Tarantino movie, talking to two past versions of himself, and fighting Mexican drug cartels after being recruited by the CIA.
All right. Well, thanks, folks. It's been great. I don't really even know what to say after that.
But they're like,
and there's people fighting over this, so the script must be interesting.
Yeah. If the deal's closed, Cage would star as actor Nicolas Cage. The character is desperate to get a role in a new Quentin Tarantino movie while also dealing with a strained relationship with his teenage daughter. He also occasionally talks to an egotistical 1990s version of himself who rides him for making too many crappy movies and not for being a star anymore. Okay. That's funny.
Yeah.
The Cage character is also under a mountain of debt and finds himself forced to make an appearance at a birthday party of a Mexican billionaire who happens to be a fan of the actor's work and secretly hopes to show him a script.
So it's a biography.
On. Yeah.
I mean, it's essentially a biography.
I think it's brilliant.
Is. Yeah. I mean, it's...
If you start making fun of yourself, then that's great.
It's worth a shot. I'm telling you, he's still sitting on a gold mine. He could come out with National Treasure 3.
Yeah, but he can.
And people will see it.
But he's working with a big studio on this one. If he can prove that he can actually...
Lionsgate, then we're going to see it.
Maybe. I'm hoping.
I mean, Lionsgate, that's a lot of weight that they'll put behind this thing. So, yeah, if this thing does anything, to be honest...
So, this is kind of like...
If we could find that dude from The Hangover...
So, this is also in the line... So, it's going to be kind of like in the lines of Last Action Hero... You know how Arnold Schwarzenegger kind of basically...
That's right.
Yeah. Then also being John Malkovich.
Yeah.
In 2002's adaptation, which ironically starred Nicolas Cage. I want to see it. I mean, I do because I want... You know me, and you get annoyed at me at times. I love comebacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I'm okay with it. I like comebacks. I don't like remakes, but I like comebacks. I like an actor that, because that was one of the last questions on one of the last shows. Like, who do you want to see in a movie that you haven't seen in a while?
Yeah.
So, and I think a lot of people would probably say Nicolas Cage. I mean, you know what I watched not too long ago was on for whatever reason, The Honeymoon in Vegas.
It's awful.
It was bad, but that's one of those ones
Was it Mr. Papa Giorgio or what is it?
No. Papa Giorgio, that was from Vegas Vacation.
Oh,
yeah, you're thinking of. I mean, you had some stars in Honeymoon in Vegas. That's Nicolas Cage. That's Sarah Jessica Parker, James Caan.
Yes,
you had Miyagi in there.
Yep.
I mean, it had it was entertaining. But remember, it came out. God, it came out the same time as what was the Robert Redford where he.
Indecent Proposal.
It came out at the same time, so then like one was like funny, and then one was dramatic.
Because you had Woody Harrelson and Demi Moore.
Yeah, and it came; those came out like the same time. But I thought Honeymoon in Vegas was kind of funny. It had some funny parts, even despite him.
Here's somebody else sent me. Eddie Murphy.
No.
Beverly Hills Cop sequel to air on Netflix.
No. Not another one.
The boys are back in town, according to Variety's. There's, but here's the thing about Eddie Murphy, though. He's been very careful with what he's done, right?
Yeah.
Dolomite, this came out on Netflix. It was awesome.
You said it was really good, yeah.
Has picked up the rights to make the next sequel to Beverly Hills Cop. With Eddie Murphy taking the lead role once again, and Jerry Bruckheimer actually, so they're actually getting a big producer.
Bruckheimer?
Yeah.
Wow.
Paramount has negotiated a one-time license deal with an option for a sequel that will give Netflix the right to make the fourth installment in the film series.
Yeah, the third one was really bad at the amusement park.
Well, and then they said Belgian directors Abil El Arab and Bilha Fahala, mm-hmm. who are currently working on Will Smith and Martin Lawrence Bad Boys for Life, will have the honors of reviving the Beverly Hills Cop series. Wow, because this is interesting. Beverly Hills Cop released in 1984, then followed up two sequels, 87, 94, has grossed $735 million worldwide. Mm-hmm. And obviously, that's without inflation.
The second one was good.
Oh, the second one
was a great...
I thought it was better than the first.
No. The first one was so good.
No, I think the second one was better. Good.
No.
But the thing about, though, this is why, to me, 1984, 4 years old, mm-hmm. 1987, 7 years old.
Probably get more of the references. So
around 89 and 90, probably when I really got to watch it or whatever, theoretically, is... Yeah. I got that one. Plus, you can see the cameras, the quality of the cameras changed a lot.
Oh, God.
The opening scene had me hooked when you're stealing cigarettes.
Oh, my God. That was great.
What other movie started out like that?
What? Stealing cigarettes?
No, where they had the main character undercover in a silly scenario that goes crazy. Came out right around the same time. You might not get it, but I saw it.
Stakeout?
No, Lethal Weapon. Oh, remember the Christmas trees?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's good. I just don't know how I feel about that because I loved Beverly Hills Cop. Like that again, that first one was so good.
Oh, those
banana in the tailpipe,
the music.
I mean, come on.
Oh, then it is good. The Playboy, the second one had Chris Rock in it. The Playboy Mansion.
Playboy Mansion, yeah. But I don't know.
It had our girl Brigitte Nielsen in it.
Yeah, the second one,
the Hollywood Gun Club.
I still love the first one.
I love them, but I think because I was older when I saw the second one, I think that's why. The third one was awful because
just brutal
because they killed off one of the best characters.
You know? Well, and they didn't they go. I don't think they went R on that one. I'm pretty sure they went PG, and yeah. I'm like, PG-13. Yeah, I was like, no. You can't do that with an Eddie Murphy.
That was also right around the same time as Metro came out, that movie.
Yeah, I think he was trying to convert over a little bit or whatever, but that first one, oh my God, that first one was so good. His best friend comes back and then gets killed, and then, oh man, that's so good.
So we do have... we do have a topic. It wasn't a big topic. That's why I wanted to go.
Oh, we do have
a topic. Because we get so many emails and so many comments. I just try to get through them, so I apologize if I don't.
Okay.
This one's from yardbreaker.com. The biggest movie flops of the 2010s.
2010s?
I
feel like there's a bunch.
I want to see some of these. I don't even think you're going to know. Neither did I at first.
As far as flops?
Yeah.
All right.
So number 31, this one kind of hurt a little bit.
We don't even get up on the screen?
No.
All right, go ahead.
The DCEU, the DC movies. Warner Brothers, DC Comics, Extended Universe.
But they're putting all of them in one?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, so that was number 31.
I just don't think you can do that when you had one that was very big, which was the Wonder Woman.
Well, it fell. The funny part is Man of Steel fell in well short of $1 billion worldwide, and they said that's a failure.
That's if you don't a flop. Hit
it. Yeah,
I thought that Superman was good. I actually did. I with Costner, anything with a Costner.
Costner was great.
I mean, yeah, he was great. Thankfully,
no sports reference in that movie.
I really thought Henry Cavill, whatever his name is, Juice. You can correct me later.
Henry Hakava.
Yeah, I thought he was a great Clark Kent. I thought he was a great Superman. Then
General Zod was great.
Yeah, yeah. It was just such a different take because I had Zod for me was Christopher Reeve in Superman 2. That Zod I thought was great. I love that
this Zod. This Zod was way better.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. I but guess once that's again, but where it goes back to my childhood.
But see, yeah, because yeah. the same way. Yeah, and it that's was
so impactful. My brother and I used to play that scene when he crushes his hand after he converts them to normal. And like we used to, I don't know why, we used to reenact that scene all the time. But I love that one.
And I think, well, and I think also is you had Christopher Meloni in it. That was great from Law and Order SVU.
Oh yeah, yeah,
he was great.
Yeah, he was good.
So they put that.
Yeah, to say that's a flop, and that's a third. If that's 31, I'm curious where they're gonna go with these.
30 was Solo, a Star Wars story.
That seems like it should be like easily in the, from what I understand, because I didn't even want to see it. You're going to take one of my childhood heroes, Han Solo, and make a movie that's not here. No, I'm good. That should be a top five.
And right around when Harrison Ford basically got killed off in the movies, mm-hmm. right? So, yeah. And that's about,
yeah, they killed him off in the seventh Star Wars.
Yep. Number 29 is The Seventh Son. This one is a YA adaption graveyard attendant of the first series of films based on the Wardstone Chronicles, and basically it had impressive cast of Jeff Daniels, Alicia Vilkmore, and Julian Moore. Moviegoers stayed away. The worldwide gross was 114, which translated $100 million-ish in loss. We didn't even know about it.
I don't even know that one.
The next one's another one to know, The Promise. This is the one that actually had Christian. I do remember this. So this is the epic romantic drama set against the American genocide, performed about as well as film that kind of daunting pitch could. So the $90 million production.
Who's in it?
Christian Bale, and Oscar Isaac, and Christian Bale. Else? Yep.
Okay.
So I do remember The Promise.
I don't know that one. What year?
It did not say which year that was.
Oh, okay.
The next one is R.I.P.D. I watched it. I enjoyed
that. Was that Ryan Reynolds?
Ryan Reynolds, yeah.
And it was
Jeff Bridges.
Bridges, yeah.
Making him enjoyable, if somewhat derivative. And it had Kevin Bacon.
Boy, and they hyped the piss out of that thing. I remember when that was coming out, and they were hyping it, and I was like, this looks just really stupid.
It was a $150 million budget and uncertain marketing, and yet you get a neither fish nor fowl flop that drops you in the $90 million plus hole. I really enjoyed RIPD. I mean, I really did. I thought it was. I don't know. I just found it very entertaining. Not everybody did. I thought Kevin Bacon was great in it. The next one is The Dark Universe. So, a valuable classic monsters properties in Van Helsing in 2003, Universal hit upon a new kind of mashup, starting with Luke Evans and Dracula Untold and Tom Cruise and The Mummy. It began building up a dark universe that would connect the rest of his creatures. Received a ho-hum critical commercial reception. Universal was counting on Cruise missile to hit the box office bullseye. The film was dreadful in all the wrong ways, but Cruise has a penchant for hyper promoting his movies the world over, regardless of how poorly they turn out. I do remember this. This is
I don't remember that one.
This one's called The Dark Universe.
I don't remember that one.
So it basically, Dark Universe, and that's why they were trying to build their own universe, like Cruise drawing power. At the end of the day, Universal's Dark Universe likely died due to The Mummy's $95 million loss. Yeah. So so they were trying to start with The Mummy with Tom Cruise, the reboot or whatever, yeah. And then build their own Dark Universe with other movies to follow, and it just did not go well.
Lost me at Tom Cruise.
This one's called Monster Trucks.
Yeah, I remember that.
Disney.
Yeah, it was a kiddie movie, and it was supposed to be all great. And yeah, I remember. Well, because I remember. I think when that came out, I was working at the party supply store, and remember that.
Yep.
And that, like, Monster Trucks was like the summer birthday party favor that every kid wanted. But then when the movie, because all that crap came out before the movie, and then when the movie came out, nobody went and saw it.
The next one is King Arthur, Legend of the Sword, which has one of our favorite guys.
Charlie Hunnam.
And it was a guy.
You know, I saw that. Yeah, and I knew it was a guy. I saw that. That was a big flop, was it?
As with Peter Pan, studios would probably be wise to stop lavishing hundreds of million dollars on Camelot-based tales.
Yeah.
2004's King Arthur was a costly bomb for Disney, but nothing compared to the money hole that Guy Ritchie's King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
Give me the numbers.
The Warner Brothers release underwent massive reshoots, which sent its budget skyrocketing to $175 million.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
They didn't absent a marketable star in the lead role, WB eventually shrugged and took its whoopings. The film eked out a $149 worldwide gross, which translates to $150 million loss. And that,
I saw it. I actually watched that movie. I was really wanting more.
Yeah.
Because it even mixed in like some sci-fi shit. It almost took that turn at that point.
Like I was a mystic arts type thing?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I was like, oh, really?
I think he can be a lead actor.
I do too. I love Charlie Hunnam.
But it's very hard to go from huge television stars sometimes to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can be typecast as a biker forever as well as he did.
And the next one's called How Do You Know? It's a James L. Brooks comedy, boasted an appealing cast of Reese Witherspoon, Paul Rudd, Owen Wilson, and Jack Nicholson. And what might end up being its final film performance. A lot of movie viewers pass, even though the movie's
whose final performance?
Jack's.
Really?
He hasn't been in a movie in a long time.
Yeah. But he's still Jack. I mean, if you pitch him the right script, that he doesn't have to be like the lead guy.
They lost $105 million on that one.
Good. Okay.
Number 22, we've talked many times, Dark Phoenix.
Oh, God.
The problem with
Dark, that was at 22, really. Yeah, that thing just came out.
The problem with Dark Phoenix was they basically had the same ending as Avengers, but they weren't owned in the same company kind of at the same time, so they found out what they were doing, so they had to change their whole movie, basically. So a bunch of reshoots, re-edits.
Again, it's just not really a cast that you're invested in. I mean, to be honest, I wasn't really invested in any of those characters.
I mean, I was. I watched them, and then, like, the first class was so great. The second one was like, okay. Yeah. And then the third, Apocalypse, like,
Apocalypse was like, wow.
So you started with this great one, and then it's almost like you work your way down. Yeah. So I agree with you on that one.
Yeah. I just wasn't invested in any of that cast by the time I got to that point, the Dark Phoenix. I wasn't. And I love the guy who plays Magneto. I love that guy. What's his name again? He played Steve Jobs.
Michael
Fender.
Fassbender?
Yeah, so, yeah, Fassbender.
Yeah.
Fassbender.
Yep. Yeah. I got it right.
I love him.
Boom.
Yeah, I love him. I think he's great. We'll see him in more stuff, to be honest. What's next?
This one, I think I briefly heard of it. Allied. It's a Brad Pitt movie.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that a war-based movie? It was a war movie.
It lost like $90 million.
Did it?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of his movies are losing money a lot lately. But I bet you he's not.
You know what he was very good in? And I know Oceans. People are going to be like, okay, you say this all the time. The Big Short with the beard.
Yeah.
Like, he's sneaky good in that movie.
Yeah.
He stays even keel the whole way.
Yeah. Agreed.
Do you want to take the deal or not?
Yeah. Agreed. He's great, but I feel like he needs a good cast around him. I don't think he's
World War Z. He killed it in World War Z.
I didn't much care for that movie. Again, I'm not a sci-fi guy. I'm not. So
you think you think he's got to have a cast around him?
I do. Like Oceans. Like some of my favorite. Like if you say Brad Pitt, give me your favorite Brad Pitt movie. I'm probably going like Oceans, or I may even go Seven. But you're in there with Kevin Spacey. You're in there with Morgan Freeman. You're still. It's more about Morgan Freeman's struggles, I think.
There's more movies that we just can't think about right now.
You think so? What? Fight Club. I mean, that movie wasn't about him. He was the side.
Yeah.
It was about Edward Norton.
I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know where he's been like a lead guy where the whole movie is based on him and it's been successful. So could you put him in Castaway and people go see that like they did Tom Hanks, right? Like, for me, that's the staple of, if you're talking about, you know, actors that are elite actors.
Moneyball.
Yeah. Okay. I'll give you that. That was it for me. That's one where he was a lead guy, but he had a great supporter in Jonah Hill.
He doesn't do a whole lot of movies, honestly.
No.
Killing Them Softly.
Yeah, like 19
I enjoyed years. That one.
No, yeah. That actually wasn't a bad movie.
Dude, I loved him in Megamind. Is that bad?
No, that was great.
I love that movie.
Because that's, Tina Fey, Will Ferrell.
Yep. Jonah Hill.
David Patton.
Yep.
Is it David Patton or Patton Oswalt? Patton Oswalt.
And Glorious Bastards. That's another one.
Yeah. Big cast in that, though. Even with Shia LaDouche.
No, he's not in that one. No, you're thinking of Glory or Fury. That's 2014.
Oh, all right.
Glorious Bastards is Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, okay.
We're going to kill some Nazis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
He had that weird voice.
I thought that was Shia LaBeouf.
No, that's Fury.
All right, my bad.
20, I do remember this one, Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was Daniel Craig.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, wasn't that one of his first ones, like, to branch out after he did some very successful Bonds, and everybody's like, ooh,
it's... And then, you know who made that movie was John Favreau.
Did he?
Favreau.
Yeah, because I remember
Favreau. I just started saying his name wrong now.
I remember that thing flop like a mother, and I mean, again, I liked Daniel Craig. I liked Harrison Ford, obviously. I remember that didn't do well.
Next one is Rise of the Guardians. I do remember this. It was the loopy animated adventure about Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, and the Tooth Fairy.
Yeah.
It lost $87 million. Cowboys and Aliens lost $75 million.
I feel like the numbers are getting lower. Like, shouldn't they be getting higher as we get to number one?
No, this is also based on what it costs to make.
Oh, no. So, but I feel like if the topic is like, biggest flop, shouldn't the numbers be getting higher as we get closer to number one? Or am I off on that?
No, I mean, am I crazy? This one, like,
I assume we count down because we always count backwards.
So Solo was 77. And then the next one is 100 million. So I'm just reading some of it.
Okay, who's the next one?
Well, I have to get back up there now that you interrupted me.
Really. My bad.
The next one is The Finest Hours.
Why do I remember maybe hearing that, but I don't, what was it about?
It was a Disney movie. Disney threw $80 million at this Craig Gillespie-directed period drama about remarkable Coast Guard rescue. Even though moviegoers typically flock to anything Coast Guard-related, they remained on shore for this generally well-reviewed effort. After towing in a $52 million worldwide, Disney was left on the hook for $75 million. So, because it's based on what they spent compared to what they lost. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. All right.
The next one, I've never even heard of, The Gods of Egypt.
That was an animation show. Uh-huh. That was a Disney animated show, too, right?
Yep, they lost $90 million on that one.
Man, it ain't cheap to draw all that crap.
This one, I do remember the updated version of Ben-Hur.
Oh, yeah.
$120 million loss.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
I knew it bombed.
And I can't remember who was in
it. One of my dad's favorite movies was Ben-Hur, the original, Charlton Heston.
Absolutely. Jack the Giant Slayer. I do remember that.
I remember that, yeah.
$105 million loss.
Woo, baby. Not good.
Yeah. This is Bryan Singer actually did that. He was part of the Marvel.
Okay.
Mortal Engines. You remember that one about the moving cities?
Yeah.
$175 million for the Pioneer series.
Yikes.
$110 million to make. Wow. The next one is the BFG. It's the very British adaptation of Robert Dahl's extremely British children movie novel that was brought to big screen by E.T. team of director Steven Spielberg and the late screenwriter Melissa Matho.
I don't remember that one.
It was well over close to $200 million.
Ooh, that's a big number. Now we're talking.
A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh yeah, I remember based on the book. Who was in that? They had a couple big names in that.
Oprah was in it.
Yeah.
42% Rotten Tomato, and the worldwide box office gross, $133 million, was tepid for a $125 million production. Disney took a $131 million loss in the film and promptly kiboshed plans for a series and theme park attraction.
There you go. Ain't happening.
So I guess they're now, the director still gets a job. Pan.
Yeah. A lot of hype around that one.
Stop making Peter Pan movies already. Steven Spielberg can't make a Neverland Fantasy work, and he failed on a catastrophic career pausing scale with Hook.
I loved Hook.
And no one can. The talented Joe Wright, Pride and Prejudice, Atonement, Hannah took Jason Fuchs' celebrated Blacklist screenplay and developed a joyless $150 million fiasco that flopped with a vengeance. It's estimated to lost between $85 million and $150 million plus.
Did you think Hook was that bad?
We watched it when I was younger. It was okay.
I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was good. Robin Williams, I thought he was great. Dustin Hoffman, that was great. I liked it. I didn't think that was a fun.
The next one is Black Hat. That's from Chris Hemsworth. Got a shell shocking from the critics. 33% Rotten Tomatoes. And nobody went to the box office. $20 million worldwide. That's not a typo. Given a $70 million budget, the film was... Yeah. So that's how bad that movie was paying. Like, only 20 million people. $20 million.
Yeah.
Hugo. Martin Scorsese's Hugo, if you remember that.
I never saw it.
Estimated loss, $91 million.
Nice.
But on a $150 million budget. The next one is Mars Needs Moms. Do you remember that at all?
I don't. Who's in that?
It's animated.
Okay. Never mind. Yeah. I'm out.
So the result is this: $100 million plus bath for Mouse House. God, man.
It sounds like all the, stop making animated movies is what it sounds like.
The next one is Valerian in the City of a Thousand Planets. It's a Luke Besson sci-fi offers up world building on an overachieving scale and wins up the kind of folly you don't help them admire. The possible beautiful actually did have some pretty it lost well over 100 million.
Ooh.
Number six, the Lone Ranger reboot.
Yeah, I remember that with Johnny Depp.
Yep.
Where he played Tonto, wasn't it? Because he didn't play the Lone Ranger, he played Tonto.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or not Tonto. Tonto was a horse, idiot.
Was it?
Yeah.
Jerry Bruckheimer did do this.
Yeah. There's a lot of hype around that thing.
He pushed this project through and paid the price.
What did he play? What did Johnny Depp play? It's not Tonto. Tonto was a horse.
I never watched Lone Ranger as a kid. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Tonto was a horse. I can't remember what the Indian was. His Indian sidekick. And that's what Johnny Depp played. All right, go ahead.
I'm gonna look it up now. It's driving me insane. The Lone Ranger came out in 2013. All cast and crew.
Yeah, I mean, I actually heard that the acting was good in that. I just heard that the movie was garbage.
No, Johnny Depp was Tonto. That is the Indian's name.
What was the name of his? What was the name of his horse then?
I think he had a horse with no name.
No,
I'm riding.
His horse had a name.
I'm riding on a horse with no name. It's a great song. The next one is Transformers: The Last Night. Michael Bay's last Transformer movie he touched.
Which one?
Transformers: The Last Night. No, Bumblebee did very well because Michael Bay had nothing to do with it.
Silver was Lone Ranger's
horse. Ah, yeah, Silver.
Silver.
Away!
Yeah.
The film bled out $100 million plus, was semi-revitalized 2 liters with the kind-hearted, more modestly budgeted.
Was that the one with Wahlberg?
Yeah.
Was that the second one with Wahlberg?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I thought the first one was with Wahlberg was a stretch. And then I remember that they made another one.
Number four is George Clooney's movie Tomorrowland.
Yeah, I remember. That's right. I remember that. There was a lot of crap around that thing.
Another Disney movie.
Tomorrowland was?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, it's still an original concept in which Disney took $190 million gamble. Sadly, even though with George Clooney in the lead, the studio couldn't convince enough moviegoers to give it a shot, which resulted in $209 million worldwide gross, while Disney afforded to eat $100 million plus doo-doo sandwich.
Yikes.
Number three already, Terminator Dark Fate.
Dude, that thing just came out.
Wow.
Yikes.
If you're spending close to $200 million to make a Terminator movie in 2019, yeah. You get what you deserve. Dark Fate, which brought James Cameron back in the fold as producer and story generator, is still in theaters, so the damage has yet to be fully tallied. But at $199 million worldwide, the film is currently nursing a $120 million loss, given that it's rapidly losing screens. An optimistic forecast will leave various studios and production companies splitting.
Are James Cameron and Linda Hamilton still married?
No, they've been gone for a
long time.
Okay. Number two, God, this is always at the top of the list. John Carter.
Yeah.
I kind of
and feel, that sucks because I like that kid.
I know.
I did like that guy.
But it.
Yeah, I remember
$200 million loss on that movie. $200 million. Some of this not even counting marketing. Yep.
I remember that movie. I remember when it came out. I never saw it.
So that's actually
I never got my check to pay for my ticket to go see it.
So that's actually number one. It was just weirded or labeled weirdly.
Oh, okay.
So that's always John Carter's always number one.
Yeah, it's always up there.
So, disagree with anything on there? Or you think anything?
No. Look, that
except for the very first one when it grouped all of the DC together.
Yeah, I didn't agree with that because, I didn't get that one. Solo, I mean, to be honest, for me, that's a bigger flop because of it just hurt the franchise. But I mean, that when you're talking about one of those, most of those are just they're not debatable. You know what I'm saying? Like, you gave facts there, mm-hmm. Right? You gave factual numbers of, I mean, what defines a flop? Losing money. Okay, well, BJ gave us all the numbers. Hundreds of millions of dollars lost.
Yeah, and so...
Like, it's amazing, isn't it?
And here's the hard thing about it is, let's say some of these are first-time actors, and some of these, mm-hmm. it could hurt them.
Oh, they're done. Well, let me ask you this. Who played Han Solo in Solo?
I have no idea.
Yeah. What's he done since?
I have no idea.
He's working at Popeye's Chicken.
Hi, ho, Silver, away!
Yeah. Yeah.
Now
yeah, who played the Lone Ranger in that movie, to be honest? I couldn't even tell you. All I knew is that Johnny Depp was in it, and he didn't speak in the whole movie, right? I'm pretty sure Tonto didn't speak. I don't think he had any words.
It was Armie Hammer was the Lone Ranger.
Was he really? Armie Hammer was?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Let's see what Armie Hammer's been up to.
Yeah, it's been a minute. I always equate him with The Social Network, and that's it. And I know he did a movie with Henry Cavill.
Well, actually, he did The Lone Ranger, then he did some video games for Disney. Then he did Entourage as himself.
Yeah.
The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah, that was with Henry Cavill. That was based on a 60s television show, 50s or 60s television show.
You think you'd stay away from this. The Birth of a Nation.
Oh, he was in that?
Cars 3.
I remember he did Edgar, J. Edgar. He with Leonardo DiCaprio when he played J. Edgar Hoover.
He's got 5 new movies coming up, so I'm proud of him.
Hey, there you go.
So, I mean, it's, I just do it for the money. Like, do you? I don't think you do. I'm not talking about him, but other people.
If he's got 5 more coming out, then yeah, he does.
So, yeah, because the lead actor in John Carter was Taylor Kitsch.
Yeah, from
Friday Night Lights,
the TV show, the TV one. Yeah.
But
I forgot to tell you, I did get Josh on board for a Varsity Blues viewing.
That is gonna be a lot. That's what I want to do. Mm-hmm. I really do. X-Men. He was also
yes.
Remy LeBeau.
Yep.
He was in the Bang Bang.
Which was what was this guy? Was it Jackal?
Gambit.
Yep.
And then he was in Friday Night Lights. Then he got John Carter. Then he was in another crappy movie, Battleship.
Yeah.
He was in Savages.
With Smoke Show, what's her name?
Blake Lively.
God damn, she's hot.
I like Savages. I know a lot of people didn't.
It was an interesting movie because I mean that was a loaded cast too. You had Lively, you had Selma Hayek, there were a lot in there.
Yeah, John Travolta.
Mm-hmm.
You also had Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't Benicio del Toro in that?
That's what I said.
Oh, did you say? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I gotta start listening more.
Because that's, I mean, I was just looking at some of those movies, and then, he was in, Taylor was also in The Lone Survivor.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, he was part of that.
He was in True Detective, 8 episodes.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think he's trying to bounce back.
He's also did Waco, the miniseries.
Yeah, that's right. And he played David Koresh.
Well, and he's also in the new Chadwick movie, 21 Bridges, coming out.
Oh, is he in that?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, okay. All right.
I'm just glad because
I like him.
I'm just saying is if...
I like that kid.
It's one thing if you're Nicolas Cage and you get offers to make a bunch of good, mm-hmm. great movies.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Aaron, he was in that, and then the other one guy was in Kick-Ass 1, Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah.
He was also in Age of Ultron.
Who?
Aaron Taylor Johnson. I was talking about two different.
Okay, yeah. I was like, wait.
So it's good to see these guys that were in that movie, Savages, actually, you know, be able to do other movies too.
Yeah, Savages was. I enjoyed it, but it was not a good movie. Like, I'll watch it, but it was not a good movie.
All right, we'll talk about this and we'll get out of here. The reason it wasn't not a good movie, in my opinion, was them sharing a girl.
Mm-hmm.
It
was just very unconventional that people were like, all right, I'm already off board.
I have no problem with it, right?
No, but a majority of people do.
But like, well, we need to go get her back. But I didn't really care for her as much as you did.
I would say if you didn't have any problem sharing her with some other dude, why are you going to risk your life for her? Like, I don't really get it. Are you in love with her, really?
Yep. And then,
Does that mean that you were in love with that dude?
But when they started using like his, you know, the guys that came back over from Iraq and mm-hmm. stuff, when they started doing their military shit, I was like, okay, now that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then they have the stupid ending with the dream sequence.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oliver Stone, you're better than that.
Was that a stoner?
I liked Travolta in it. He played a dirty cop.
Uh huh. Yeah.
So,
I thought Salma Hayek was great in it. I thought that was one of her better performances, to be honest.
Yeah, and then I think Blake did. I think Blake did okay in it too. Because I love her. I mean,
I love her. She's just right behind Eva Mendes for me. Still Eva. I watched the other guys. It was on the other day, and just the dinner scene. Seriously, Alan, who is that? It's the old ball and chain. Oh, it's a really common story. He came in. It's like from that movie. He had poison ivy on his asshole.
Ah.
It's that Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks movie. I don't remember a movie where Tom Hanks had poison ivy on his asshole.
Oh, man, that's a great movie.
I love that movie.
I wouldn't mind seeing the sequel of that one.
I feel like we got it when we got Daddy's Home and then Daddy's Home 2.
Yeah, but those weren't rated R.
I know. Yeah.
Like
I could use another guys, and I felt like they set it up with Jeter there at the end.
Yeah,
you know, I felt like they set up for another.
This is just
other
the
guys.
Beginning.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, I could see it happening.
But they wanted to make more kids' movies, so people go and see them.
Mm-hmm. And so, they did.
So that is our hashtag movie review show for the week.
Love this song we're going out to, baby.
So this song's been in a couple movies. I really enjoy it. RB, what are we listening to when we leave today?
We are going to be dancing, and we are going to be dancing on the ceiling.
That's right, folks. On your FM dial, it's Lionel Richie dancing on the ceiling.
Tune in.
Say, you give me one more. One more like tonight. The crowd is great, the people out there screaming, hollering, it's happening, man. Wait, what's happening down at the end of the hall? Okay, come on.
What is happening here? Something's going on.
What's happening?